This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside the newly returned Dawn Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
TriMet is planning to ban e-cigarettes. The Don't Ask, Don't Tell vote is on hold. And a woman stabs her husband in an argument over the TV remote.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News!
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, December 9th, 2010.
And that's the most important thing to know, Dawn Taylor, is that this is not a rerun, this is not an encore. We are here live entertaining and informing the people of Portland and planet Earth.
We are. And by the skin of our teeth, apparently, because you weren't expecting me to be here this morning.
No, damn you.
So it's like, I'm coming into work, and you're like,
damn you and your Puritan work ethic. Didn't even have pants on. Literally.
So that's basically it. You go, well, Dawn probably won't be there today. Dawn's not going to be there, so I don't have to wear pants.
Well, so the, not that anybody really cares. So I had this, screw it. Doesn't matter. We're here. It is Legion of News. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday here at Cascadia.fm. It is Thursday, December 9th, 2010. Thank you for drawing near. Coming up later on this hour, we have your entertainment news, also Science on the March. If you want to get this program via iTunes, you can do that. It's also available as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. And you can get it on your mobile device as well, and with or without pants, depending on, really in whatever way you conduct your life, whatever path you find yourself on, there is an avenue for entertainment via this program. It's mobile.cascadia.fm. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. I had pants on, but they were, they were stained.
Okay. So those count. Those are pants.
I guess. I mean, any pants in a storm.
You know, you could have worn them here because the whole time I'm looking at you, you're sitting down, so I can't see your pants anyway.
Well, I know, but I'd know they were there, and it's, I feel that one needs to dress for success, Dawn. You can't just walk out of the house in stained pants. I mean, I guess you could.
Okay.
I mean, let's be honest. Sarah does like half the time, so I mean, really, I guess it's all a wash. How are you?
I'm actually not too bad. I'm good. Right.
That's strange that of the two of us, you're actually the most calm. You're centered.
I am very well.
Have you had a couple of days to just to find your inner zen?
Well, the thing is, as listeners may or may not know, I'm taking a little time from the show here and there because my husband is having some tests run. He's a little he's ill, so
they're jabbing things into narrow areas of his body.
They're jabbing every part of his body. They're sending scopes and cameras into every orifice of his body right now. And yesterday, once I realized it was kind of, you have that thing where you realize it's kind of it's serious. They're not just going to go, oh, here, take this pill and go home. You'll be
fine.
Keep
your feet elevated.
And you realize that it actually could be something serious. I did freak out a little bit. Yesterday I was just walking around. I was just a big open wound all day long. Patrick would go, I love you. And I go, I love you too. I can't live without you, you know. And then I'll read Vanity Fair magazine because that'll lighten me up because it's all about Cher. And it's like, Barbara Walters, let me tell you about my open heart surgery. So it's like everything was just, fortunately, if you're in a hospital, particularly if you're in an intermediate care facility, there are boxes of Kleenex everywhere.
Really? Are they prepared for that?
Yeah, because I guess people are just walking around weeping like all the time.
It's like being at Dove Lewis where all the rooms are painted like a really soft lavender for a moment where you have to make a heart-rending decision.
Yes. But it's a nice hospital. There's lots of free coffee. Everybody's really pleasant. And today I'm feeling much less... It's doubtful that I will burst into tears at any point during the news.
Okay. Well, if you do, I promise to look away and then pretend later that it never happened.
Yeah. You will mock me later, but yeah, I would expect nothing
that's
else.
That's true.
But I'll wait until you're not here, okay, is the thing. So I had, just as a bit of a side note. So we will be doing the Rick Emerson Show next hour. Our good friend Anna Griffin from The Oregonian will be here also. Mr. David Walker will be in the studio as well. So I had, not that I'm not glad to see you. Don't get me wrong. It's just, I had structured the entire morning about, you know, and during that hour that we would normally be doing Legion of News, because Eric Snyder, who has been filling in, and wonderfully so, Grace Under Pressure and all that, the last couple of days, you know, he's like, well, Tuesday and Wednesday are great, Friday maybe, Thursday, totally out. And so I thought, you know, we'll just do an encore presentation today, and then I will use that solid hour between noon and 1 to create all of the magic that I will need later on in the Rick Emerson Show. Nothing will interfere with the preparation of content for the Rick Emerson Radio Pro. I will be given 1 hour that I would not previously have, and then it's like at that moment the phone rang. And it's you, and you're like, I'm on my way to the studio. I'll see you there in 5 minutes. And I look down, and stains everywhere. So,
David Walker will bring enough magic for everyone.
And hate, most importantly.
Magical hate.
The thing is that it'll be almost like you're here and black.
Yeah.
It's Don Taylor, ladies and gentlemen, at the news desk here at Legion of News.
Changes are coming that might affect the way people ride public transportation, particularly those who enjoy tobacco products. People already aren't allowed to smoke cigarettes on board buses and Max Light Rail trains, but there's going to be an addition to that policy. Electronic cigarettes will also be banned starting next year. Additionally, the transit organization is relaxing its stance on shopping carts. Riders won't be able to haul full-size shopping carts from the grocery store on the bus, but people can now bring smaller two-wheeled versions.
You're more moderately sized shopping carts. You can just stick those onto you. Are these like little baskets, like baskets with wheels?
I think so.
So you can't smoke an electronic cigarette, which, by the way, is not really a cigarette and dispenses no smoke and doesn't bother anybody, but you can bring on a shopping cart, meaning there's one less seat for everybody else.
Right. And it rattles, and you're probably going to roll it over people's feet.
That's great.
They, of course, are only pulled along by the finest citizens.
I was going to say, I don't want to stereotype here, but it does seem like that's a little bit of a sociological tell. If you're lugging one of those shopping carts along, you know, it's like if at any moment, it's like if you see somebody who's just got, like underneath their nails, they've just got like silver scratch-off goo, you know, from lottery tickets at the Plaid. I'm not saying that they're a bad person, but I mean, I think, I'm just saying that's one tumbler in the lock.
The electronic cigarette thing makes no sense to me at all, though, because it's like, I understand no smoking, you know, this whole secondhand smoke and it being both, you know, carcinogenic and irritating to those around you, but... Yeah, the e-cigarettes, they give off like a little bit of a water vapor, and it doesn't do any... You're only harming yourself.
Yeah, it makes no sense unless you've ever heard of graft or bribery or lobbyists, because that's really what it is. I mean, it's like you've got, you know, cigarette smoke, which, you know, at the very least can be irritating, you know, and, you know, possibly dangerous to those around you, but I mean, but it's off-putting and it's annoying. That... you know, it's not like they let you do that on the bus, but you can still do that in most. At least you can buy those things, whereas these you can't even buy anymore. I think they actually got rid of the thing at Lloyd's Center, which is like one of their big like outlets here.
You can still buy them on the internet, though.
And you can get them in Las Vegas. If you walk down the streets of Vegas, they just sell them everywhere. So, which you know, and here's the thing: is I'm glad that the legislation to get those e-cigarettes off the market actually came about rather quickly, because that was a thing, no lie, in which I was going to be investing some money. Because when I saw those in Vegas a couple years ago, and I bought one for Sarah, and I was like, what's this? And the guy's like, it dispenses a water vapor, and it's like a cigarette, and it lights up, and it glows, and there's nicotine, but there's no actual smoke. And their whole selling point is that you can just smoke with impunity, even in places where the man says you can't, which appeals to all of my instincts at once.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was just thinking that was... It's like when... It's like how I'm kind of glad that I didn't invest in TiVo. Because I was, you know, I was going to buy stock in TiVo, and then I didn't. You know, and it never really went anywhere the way that it should have. TiVo's just one of those stocks that should have exploded and then just didn't for reasons that pass understanding. So I've always felt like that was a little bit of a, that was a bullet dodged right there. So it is with the e-cigarette thing, because it's like I would have bought the stock and then it would have cratered. Then I would have been outside with a barrel around me and some suspenders.
Yeah, when I was smoking, I actually wanted to get one. I considered buying one because Patrick doesn't like the cigarette smoke and it was annoying him. And he was complaining about it all of the time.
Did he say that it was making him feel listless and ill?
Yes. I feel like
I'm sorry, is it too soon?
I feel like there's something going on in my insides and it's all your fault.
I only say it because I love you, Doc.
But, and I wanted to get one, and then I didn't. And then I quit smoking, and then, but I will still, I don't crave cigarettes. I'm actually over cigarettes. I have no desire to smoke at all. Every time I think about it, I just go, no, don't want to. But I see the ads for those, and I go, I still want one of those.
I just like them because of the potential to irritate people. That's the thing. It's like just the idea that you can be in a restaurant smoking and that, you know, like the guy comes and goes, you have to put that out. And you say, but no, I don't. It's not. I mean, it basically is like using Banaka breath spray.
Yeah.
It's just filled with nicotine.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know,
yeah.
Hey, have at it. All right. You are listening to Legion of News. Thank you for coming along. There's just two messages. One just says, welcome back, Dawn.
Thank you.
And the other says, no pants. Is Rick letting Uncle Wilbur run wild? I don't really know what
that... Is that what we call it?
I don't know. I guess it depends on what you mean by the pronoun we. Not really clear there. All right, well, in any event, thank you for joining us. Coming up later on this hour, entertainment news, also science in the March. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program. Today's installment of Legion of News brought to you by... And let me just read this. I think I have right here. So I got an email from a listener of ours who went to Christmas Mountain Trees. And it was our listener, Jason. And Jason says, Rick, wanted to let you know that as a listener, I try to do my part by utilizing the offerings and or services of your fine advertisers. I know that by buying, I'm helping to keep you talking for my entertainment, Rick, just like the radio monkey you love to be. That is true, sir. Says, today, my boyfriend and I went up to Christmas Mountain, and we had a great time. Weekdays are definitely the best. Says, no rain, but friendly, helpful, eager staff. We took our time selecting just the right tree, chatting with the owner. That would be Troy. He says, I wish only I had taken my flask with me for the tractor ride. That's not a thing that I can condone, endorse, promote, or encourage. Dawn, however, probably can. And Will?
I did not bring a flask with me, but now that you mentioned it, didn't even occur to me.
Well, then where was my wife getting the booze from?
It wasn't for me. But did Cheryl have a flask?
That's entirely possible. Well, somebody had a flask then. Because
and
there
you
was...
just immediately assume it's me.
Well, you know, don't you have a cane that carries booze?
No, but I have a couple of different flasks.
Do you not? Do they not make a cane that carries? They
make do.
A, it's
they
like have... a big straw for hooch?
It's a cane, and what it is you take the handle off of it, and there's two little plastic tubes that slide down into the cane proper, and they have screw tops on them, so you can put, and I think they hold like an ounce or two in each of those.
And there's a reservoir of,
yeah,
of
so
liquor.
You can just unscrew the thing and pop out your little booze capsule.
Well, I don't know if this sort of a thing is illegal or not. I mean, it's private property. I mean, you know, the Christmas Mountain Trees belongs to Troy and Jennifer. They are the proprietors, so it seems like you could probably get all liquored up there. Maybe, you know, maybe you want to, maybe you don't. I'm just saying, like...
So wait a minute, your wife was getting booze somewhere and wielding a chainsaw.
Well, legally, no. Yes, yes, the answer is yes, but legally, no. If you were to ask me...
Well, I'm sure she didn't have any booze until after
that's right.
She handled
no,
the chainsaw.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. I'm glad you came up with what I was going to come up with a few minutes from now by way of a justification. That's true, Dawn. That's exactly what... It's funny that you say that, even though that had not occurred to me as a thing that I should say, even though it is the truth.
So I think it's probably best to say the flask sounds like a good idea, but since there are axes and chainsaws and balers around, you don't need it.
Maybe later.
Yeah,
you know,
afterwards.
On the way home. Not on the way home. You know
no.
what? I'm going to quit
they
talking.
Have, they have hot cocoa and hot cider and coffee for free that they give you, and that's delightful.
This isn't ending up anything like I thought it was going
no.
to sound. Anyway, Jason says...
Damn it, Jason.
I wish only I had taken my flask with me for the... See, he's a sensible individual. He decided to wait.
Hi.
He says, it was the best Christmas tree hunting we have had since I've lived in Portland, and I've been here for 18 years. Just wanted to tell you that he, that would be Troy, spoke fondly of his experience with you guys on Saturday. Sorry we couldn't make it up there, but thanks for the recommendation. Longtime listener, Jason. So there you go. So Christmas Mountain Trees is the name of that fine family farm. Here's the thing. I distinctly remember somebody saying, Lara, can I And that, I'm assuming this means what I think it means. Can I Irish up your coffee? Now, well, one doesn't wish to traffic in stereotypes, but I'm assuming that means make it alcoholic.
Yeah, that's what that would mean.
Yeah. Well, okay.
We did have, there were a couple of listeners there, and many of our listeners are fond of the tipple.
It was some sort of alcoholic great gazoo that just appeared out of nowhere.
Maybe it was one of the owners. Maybe it's not our fault at all.
There you go. That's as long as we are not in any way held responsible for the outcomes of our actions. You can find out more by going to ChristmasMountainTrees.com. ChristmasMountainTrees.com. They're open all the way through the 19th of December. You can also go to their Facebook page, Facebook.com/ChristmasMountain, where you can find the weather reports, driving directions, and more. A fantastic Christmas tree farm owned and operated by that family for three going on four generations. ChristmasMountainTrees.com. Here is Don Taylor.
The megachurch pastor, who is accused of sexual coercion by four men, is trying to settle the cases through mediation. It comes after Eddie Long publicly and forcefully denied the allegations during services at his congregation. Legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin says the move to settle is a little surprising.
What makes this an unusual candidate for mediation is that you either sexually assaulted somebody or you didn't.
I'm sorry. I don't know why that strikes me as so funny, but I guess it's because he's bringing into stark relief something that I never really thought about, that it isn't like there's a gray area there.
Yeah, not really. Not so much.
I mean, that's sort of a yes, no. This seems like maybe it's where you're trying to maybe cop a plea, as they say, where you'll admit to part of the activity, but maybe not the rest of it. Or maybe with one guy, but not all of them. Or maybe...
But even with one guy, it's still illegal. You don't get to, like, sit down and mediate a settlement.
Now, were they underage?
I don't know the details of this.
Because maybe the claim will be that, like, they were, you know, that they were of age.
As I recall the story, I think they were younger men, but they may not have been underage.
So maybe it's that they were adults, so he'll cop to that, but he won't cop to, like, the... Because I think they were saying he was, like, embezzling. This is maybe my recollection of it. I could be wrong about this. But that he was, like, siphoning money off from the church or something to buy their silence. So maybe he's going to, you know, sort of plead out the part of it, but not the rest. Let me just hear that one more time.
What makes this an unusual candidate for mediation is that you either sexually assaulted somebody or you didn't.
And by the way, I can say for me, the answer is no. That's a thing that I have not.
I think what is happening is they're adult men legally, but they're saying that they suffered emotional distress because of him using his position as pastor of the church to coerce them into sexual activity.
Well, all right. The best part is that you can actually hear the smile in Tubin's voice here as he's talking, that he's got that sort of wry grin where he's on television and you can hear him trying to hold back a sort of chortle at this story. Do we have a...
Yes, Toobin says the private talks are much different than Long's public bluster.
You heard Bishop Long's initial reaction to these accusations. Mediation would be the last place you think he would wind up, because mediation is implicitly a recognition that, well, there are two sides to this story.
So he has been very thunderous in his denunciations of these young men and their claims that he was getting his sex on.
Basically, this just sounds like he's decided, yes, he's going to pay them off.
Yeah.
It's a matter of sitting down with somebody to figure out, to hammer out exactly how much is he going to pay them off.
Well, I assaulted them a little bit. By the way, I'd like to urge everybody to begin using Pastor Long or Bishop Long as a sort of euphemism for, you know, whatever you like. Either a...
It's better than Uncle Wilbur.
I don't even know what the Uncle Wilbur thing is.
I think he's talking about your weenie, because you weren't wearing pants.
But I mean, is it... Thank you. I think I'd cracked his code in that regard. But I'm saying,
you seem baffled.
But is it from something? Is it a reference to something in particular?
No, I think he's just trying to come up with a more adult way to say Willie.
It's not like a reference to a child's Christmas in Wales or something.
I hope not.
All right. This guy says, hey, if TriMet's banning things, can they ban that homeless guy who always brings on a dog at the end of a piece of twine? I'm with you on that, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Here is Don Taylor.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid was all set to bring Don't Ask, Don't Tell and its parent defense authorization bill up for debate last night. But Senator Susan Collins, a Republican from Maine, has asked him to hold off until after a vote on the tax cut deal. Everyone on the Republican side wants to see the tax package completed first, she said yesterday evening. Collins has also set some other terms for consideration of the defense bill. She's requested 15 guaranteed votes on amendments and 4 days to consider the bill. Reid secured the 15 amendments, but only offered a couple of days of debate. Collins pushed back, saying she wanted double the time and assurance that the Republicans get to pick our own amendments as opposed to the majority leader. If the Senate swiftly deals with the tax compromise this week, that could leave time for debating the defense bill next week. Talking Points memo notes that things look much more promising for Don't Ask, Don't Tell repealers now than they did even earlier this week.
All right, so this is...
So now they're just using it as a bargaining chip to, you know, to keep juggling it around in the schedule while they talk about, you know, tax issues.
Okay, because it sounded
like the defense spending.
Yeah, thing. You started with one story and then it sort of transmogrified into another thing toward the end. So it's that they're tying it all together, the tying the don't ask, don't tell thing and the tax thing.
Yeah,
so
but they just keep pushing don't ask, don't tell back. Like, this is much less
we'll
of a priority than, you know, all of this other stuff.
Well, the pesky civil rights can wait until later on when we figure out the... And the tax thing is one of, the stories that I feel like I ought to understand. Like, in other words... Not that I should be expected to just automatically grasp what it means, but that I should probably take time to figure out what the hell it means, because presumably it affects a lot of people. But it's like every time I try to figure, it's like somebody will show like a pie chart of it in USA Today, and I'll get about halfway through the article and I realize that I have no idea what they're actually talking about or how it affects me in any way. This is normally the sort of thing that I wouldn't read here, but I don't... It's just one of those things that it gets typed on the screen, and it's funnier than it ought to be. Do you ever see like somebody make a joke or a pun, and it's like it shouldn't really be as amusing as it is? You know, it's actually kind of dumb
on a daily basis, Rick Emerson.
But then you realize that, you know, somebody just took the time. They actually went online. They logged onto the internet. They actually signed in. And then they took time out of their day, out of the finite number of years they are given on Earth. I mean, however many, whatever the great hourglass in the sky reads for the remainder of their human existence, they took precious time out of that to type the following. Look, Don, Rick can pants if he wants to. He can leave his friends behind because if his friends don't pants, and if they don't pants, then they're no friends of mine.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, thank you. For taking the time to share that,
there you go.
Listener.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. The Rick Emerson Show comes up next hour with Mr. David. Now, are you going to be staying?
No, I'm going to be.
Not that you're not welcome. I just
no, I'm going to be.
My whole day is asunder now.
I'm actually going to be swinging by Things from Another World. I texted Mr. Aaron Duran and asked him to pick out a couple of nice graphic novels to keep my husband occupied because he actually feels really good. He's just bored out of his mind and doesn't like getting poked. So, and then I'm going to bring him some graphic novel, and then I'm headed straight back to the hospital.
Is it that thing of, is he in the room with the, like, do they have one of those, the wall-mounted television that gets, like, four channels or something?
They get basic cable. So he actually has better TV in his hospital room than we have piped into our house at the moment.
So he could be watching Perry Mason right now.
He could be.
That's probably what he is watching.
And he has been, like, borrowing my laptop so he can watch his daily anime.
Really? Does he, in fact, have daily anime?
He does. Oh, he does. He watches these two anime programs, Bleach and Naruto, both of which have been on for years, and they're on every day. And I think I've mentioned this before, and I don't even bother to try and figure out what they're about, because he's watching, like, episode 3,749, and every once in a while go, well, this guy was, like, from another planet, but then now he's a ninja, and just stop. I don't even want to know.
Does he know which graphic novels you're going to be? Are you going to surprise him with some graphic novels?
I'm as surprised as he is. I actually texted Aaron and asked him if he was working today, and then asked him if he'd pick a couple of things out for me, and I'll swing by and pay for him and pick him up, because I figure Aaron actually is more of an expert on this than I am, so he should know what's good.
Is Patrick a Firefly fan?
Yes.
Because there's that Serenity the Shepherd's Tale.
I got to get that, yes.
Which is great, which is quite good.
Okay.
So I would strongly recommend that. And it does a great... I thought it was, that's sort of like Sword from the Stone stuff, because I thought that explaining the backstory on Shepherd book would be that it would remove his mystique and make him less interesting. But no, it's just as good as you were. Yeah. The backstory is just as great as you were hoping.
And then there's something for me to read as
See, that's what I'm saying. See, that's a dual gift.
It is.
Rick Emerson's always thinking. This is all true. Next hour, Mr. David Walker, who is heard Wednesdays on the Court and Fat Boy show, and who can be read at badassmofo.com, and is also the host of missingreal.tv, will be here. Anna Griffin from the Oregonian will be stepping in later on the day. She'll be counting down the top five songs to which she moped as a teenager.
Damn, I'm missing. Well, I'll be listening elsewhere.
It's available.
I guess I could hear it, you know.
There's probably
it's on the internet and stuff.
Some mechanism by which you could listen. iPhone. By the way, can I just point this out? And we're doing a lot of stuff in this hour right here that we would typically just wait and do in the Rick Emerson show. But because you're going to be back, with Patrick, as is. Because that was my whole thing. It is. I just felt all this. Not to make it all about me, but it's all this crushing Catholic guilt when you said you're on the way in today, and not that anything's going to happen, but it's I just pictured Patrick just sitting there listlessly staring at the wall like Philo, while you and I are here just whiling away the day in gales of laughter. So that's why I was sort of encouraging you to,
No, he is actually finishing up the clearing out before the colonoscopy.
Oh, that's great.
So sitting around while that was happening was not a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And then honestly, during the period I'm here, I would either be sitting there while that's going on, or I'd be sitting in a different waiting room waiting while he got the colonoscopy.
Either way,
being here is far preferable to that.
Is it the thing where they gave him a bowl of sawdust to eat or something, they sometimes do that, or they just give you a barium, drink?
They give you a big gallon jug with this stuff that looks and tastes a little bit like Crystal Light, and they say, you have to drink all of this in the next several hours. And after a while, it's just choking it down and choking it down, but it's this electrolyte solution that they use to kind of. And then they give you some other things, and because
to clean out the pipes,
to clean out the
or
pipes.
The pipe, the single
yes.
one,
the one single
the
long
one single pipe.
Pipe, yes,
the okay. Well, there you go. We'll quit talking about that now.
Yeah,
and so forth. But
yes, being here is better than being there doing that. And there was really no reason for me to be there for that anyway.
Fair enough. It is the Legion of News radio program coming to you live from the studios of the Emerson News Network via our good friends at Cascadia.fm, who, by the way, I want to give shouts out. What would you call a multiple if you were doing more than one shout out? Like attorneys general, where you do shouts out or shout outs?
I would say shouts out.
Shouts out to our good friend Robert Wagner, also Sabrina, and everybody else who was there because there was a lot of wiggledy piggledy rat a tat tat this morning of back and forth of me going, we're doing a best of. No, we're not. Yes, we are. I don't know. And it's 5 minutes before noon when I was, I
apologize to everyone for my.
That's right.
For my crazy, spontaneous nature.
See, I wasn't expecting that, but I'm not going to turn it down. I will always take an apology, even if you were not at fault. I'll just keep it in my back pocket, like a chance card at Monopoly. In any event, so leading up to the show, they were sort of going back and forth about whether or not we were going to be doing a live show. So they addressed it with aplomb. Mm-hmm. So thank you to those guys at Cascadia for helping us.
And also thank you to Sabrina for sitting in with Fat Boy Roberts on Hamfisted Radio yesterday.
I heard that she was going to do that, but I didn't get a chance to listen. But I did hear that it went well. So it's all.
How could it not?
Yeah. How indeed? How indeed?
I am superfluous, is what I'm basically learning over the last couple of days.
What's the point? I was going to say something here. That's not true at all. In fact, I was going to say, this is how we led into this whole thing. And again, I apologize for the. Those of you who don't listen to the Rick Emerson show and who are used to the crystal clarity and the cinched up tight structure that is Legion of News every day.
The actual news focus of Legion of News.
Yeah, we're a little more loose and lax today, but that's all right. So yesterday, though, you called in to the Emerson show, and Sarah and Greg were in here. I'm at great pains to point something out that you called in, and then at one point your phone dropped off.
Yeah.
And so immediately I just got, there's a bunch of emails from, people taunting your iPhone. They're like, there's your precious iPhone. It can't even do phone calls. And I essentially point out that we were wondering why that happened. You didn't get to hear it on your end, but it was something with the network traffic because, that comes to us over the over our LAN connection or, our Ethernet connection. And it was weird because it was like a long period of silence where there was just dead air, like you weren't saying anything. And then about 15 or 20 seconds worth of conversation from you came out at chipmunk speed.
Really?
At David Seville, speed. So it all kind of, all of
so
the stuff
got
you were saying.
It up in the tubes.
Totally.
And then just boom.
Yeah, exactly. It just got stacked up, and then it all just poured out at triple speed. It was the most bizarre thing. But I was going to say, if you actually call into the show again at some point, if you have time, maybe you do, maybe you don't, you should actually do it via Skype. Because,
I did do it via Skype.
Really?
That was Skype.
But you didn't use the username. You actually called the number.
Didn't I?
Now, you called the actual number.
Oh.
That's why it was still, which is fine. That's a phone connection.
That's the very first time I've ever used Skype, so apparently I did it wrong.
Yeah, so it's just like an instant messenger, basically. So you can call. That works. I'm just saying, if you actually do it via our username, which is Rick Emerson Show, then you get that weird, spooky thing like you're in the room with
us. That's what I was aiming for, and apparently that's why I failed.
That's okay. Yeah. There's always today, Don. All right. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
Let's do some science news,
shall we? Here's your science on the march for Thursday here at Legion of News.
Using stem cell technology, scientists at the University of Texas have engineered the first ever mice with two fathers, according to a new study published in the journal Biology of Reproduction.
Benji has two fathers.
In what the authors herald as a new form of mammalian reproduction, surrogate mothers were used to give birth to babies whose DNA had genetic contributions entirely from two males. It's been a weird project, but we wanted to see if it could be done, said lead author Richard Berenger.
Doesn't that describe so much of science?
Pretty much.
So many of the stories we have here, it's kind of a weird project, but we said, why not? Let's try it.
What's the worst that could happen? While the authors claim that the study has brought us closer to a day when two men can produce their own genetic sons and daughters, of course, making women completely unnecessary, skeptics say they're downplaying some very serious obstacles. Reprogramming genes in humans is much harder than doing it with mice, and studies that have worked in animals have often been less successful with people.
You know, the thing is, that implies that they've actually tried it. When they say, this is working with mice, but it's way harder with people, that, I think, reveals perhaps more than they really intended to. Like, that maybe there's some, there's like in a lab, there's some sort of like, I shouldn't be sort of Moreau guy down there.
I wonder if this is going to be a hot topic of conversation with radical, men's drum circle groups.
The Iron John guys in the woods talking about how they can be free of the shackles of female oppression.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The cholera outbreak ravaging Haiti began at a camp for UN peacekeepers from Nepal, according to an expert report submitted to the French Foreign Ministry. Respected French epidemiologist Professor Reynaud Pierrot conducted a study in Haiti last month and concluded the epidemic began with an imported strain of the disease that could be traced back to the Nepalese UN base. The source of the infection came from the Nepalese camp, a source told news sources, speaking on condition of anonymity, as he was not authorized to discuss a report that has not been yet made public.
I was going to blame it on moon fishing in China, but what do I know? Yeah.
The starting point has been very precisely localized, he said, pointing at the UN base at Mirabelais on the Artibonite River in central Haiti. There are no other possible explanations, given that there was no cholera in the country, and taking account the intensity and the speed of the spread and the concentration of bacteria in the area. The most logical explanation is the massive introduction of fecal matter into the river by the UN peacekeepers camp.
Okay. That's wonderful. That's great. By the way, somebody wants to know, this guy says, I tuned in late. Did I hear that they are giving Patrick massive amounts of Brondo in the hospital?
I don't know what Brondo is.
Oh, come on. Really?
I don't.
Idiocracy. Brondo. It has electrolytes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, they are.
Okay. Yes, they are, sir. Just feel free to pass that along.
In a stunning debut test flight, Space Exploration Technologies' Dragon capsule returned from a two-orbit trial run around the planet, demonstrating it has the right stuff to carry NASA cargo. The right stuff, they said. And perhaps eventually its astronauts as well, to the International Space Station. The mission marked the first time a private company has returned a spacecraft from orbit, a key milestone in the company's quest to shoulder some of the cargo runs to the space station after NASA retires the shuttles next year. SpaceX, which is owned and operated by Elon Musk, the inventor of the Tesla car, is expected to share the work with Orbital Sciences Corporation, which plans to test fly its Taurus 4 rocket and Cygnus capsule next year. By then, SpaceX may be well on its way to actually docking at the space station. Today's successful mission should help the firm's case to combine the two remaining test flights under its NASA-backed development program and berth a Dragon capsule at the station during its next flight, which is targeted for spring or summer of 2011.
All right. If you were just like listening with one ear, maybe, or maybe you were just not processing the story fully, like maybe you were distracted by, I don't know, like one of your shoes was on fire or something, and you just heard the phrase "birth a dragon capsule." Doesn't that sound like something? Doesn't it sound like we're going to be having, like medieval warfare on Venus or something?
It sounds like something D&D players would say.
You know, but it's like, but it's some sort of like D&D like of the future. You know,
we're going to birth a dragon capsule.
Yeah, and the other thing is that the company is called SpaceX, and that clearly is a thing where a guy just had an idea for naming a company SpaceX and then worked backward from that.
Well, it is the guy who invented PayPal and the Tesla car.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's good with names.
The guy was just in a room drawing up, like, lists of names they wanted to trademark and then figuring
SpaceX.
Out, yeah, like what company they would reverse engineer from it. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia FM, not to be confused with Castalia. Cascadia.fm, a fine broadcasting entity which brings our voices to you every Monday through Friday and beyond. Castalia Language Center, they are based in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. They are a school that specializes in teaching Spanish language classes to adults. So if you manage to escape from one of our finer institutions of learning without, let's say, the Spanish language that you might ideally have retained under better circumstances and in better conditions, well, you can make up for that right now. So maybe, you know, and here's the thing. You don't necessarily think of this as being a holiday present necessarily. But if you and, let's say, your beloved, someone close to you, your family, our friend Siegfried, for example, you know, he and his clan are headed to, I think, Europe sometime in the... I don't know, like sometime in like March or April, they do this like, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, you know, like through the countryside of wherever, like singing and dancing. Probably not the singing and dancing part, but I think there's wooden shoes involved at some point. It doesn't matter. If you're going to be going somewhere next year and you want to maybe spring a little bit of a Christmas surprise on somebody, you know, you take them to Castalia Language Center. You guys can enroll in Spanish language classes. And then if you are traveling, you're going to be able to speak with more fluidity and accuracy. You'll impress the locals. They will welcome you into their homes. They'll give you like some of that Iberian ham that everybody loves so much.
You can learn to say things like, these wooden shoes are giving me blisters all over my feet.
Exactly. Please, do you have any Brondo? My area needs to be emptied. Maybe not... Maybe not that.
No.
You might not ever want to say that.
Not under most circumstances, no.
No. You can find out more by going to portlandspanish.com. It is portlandspanish.com. That is the website for Castalia Language Center, a proud sponsor of the Rick Emerson Radio Program and of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Admittedly, more proud on certain days than on others, but hey, what are you going to do? Did I ever tell you about the time that I had what was it called? I keep wanting to say colon blow, but that's the thing they advertised on SNL.
Right.
It was a colon cleansing.
Ah, you have mentioned that it happened before, and I have to admit I was surprised that you underwent that.
It's a long story. I don't even remember why I agreed to it, because Sarah was getting it done.
It was one of those, like, hey, we'll give you one free kind of thing,
yeah.
So you just did
it. I think that's what it is, because Sarah has a sort of a fixation with that function of her body. I don't know why. I don't know what has ever led to that, but it's not...
I thought we established that she just pooped perfect little pink capsules that she just sat aside on a shelf somewhere.
I think that maybe they deduced that wasn't normal, though. and that wasn't...
It smells like ponies and rainbows.
Exactly. You know? I mean, it's understandable if, like, Daryl Hannah does that. But how many people could really have that sort of, you know, that sort of functionality? It seems odd. Anyway, so I think she ended up at one point being offered, I swear to God, a free colon cleansing and a gun. Free? Why not? I mean, I can be induced to do almost anything if it's a thing that I would normally have to pay for, but they are giving me for free.
And of course, you know that if the situation, the more horrific the anecdote, the better it will be for your radio show.
Right. Was it you that said this? Were you quoting somebody? It was like bad life, good story.
Yeah, that was Carrie Fisher in Wonder Bugs. Yeah. Yeah, bad reality, good anecdote.
Exactly. And so there I am, like, 2 or 3 days later sitting in, you know, with the thing being put into another thing. But then beforehand, and then they give you this, like, bag. It's like that silica gel they put in, the thing that says do not eat or whatever, mm-hmm. that they put in, like, pills or something to keep it from getting wet. It's like that, and then what seemed very much like sort of a plasticky sawdust. And then they just had you, they had to put it into, it was like some really, it was like Metamucil or whatever, but if it was just made out of like Formica shavings. And they had you just drink an entire sludgy glass of it. And then you like sat on this big sort of trophy tube. It was all very strange.
I can imagine.
In retrospect, I don't know why I felt that it was necessary to sort of accompany her to that experience.
No.
I could have just said, do it yourself and I'll be here. Anyway, all right, are we done with science?
Yes, we are.
Okay, there you go. Here's Don Taylor at the news desk.
A man is suing Clackamas County for $3 million after a deputy shocked him with a taser and he went into cardiac arrest. On December 2nd, 2008, Paul Streeter ran through the parking lot at Clackamas Town Center Mall, pounding on the windows of a mall security car and threatening the guard. The man, who was from Boring, then went to the mall, deputies say, and caused a scene. Deputies were already on their way because Streeter's father had called 911 saying his son had mental health issues and was off his medication. When Deputy Steve Shelley arrived, authorities say he ordered Streeter to get on the ground, but he would not comply. Shelley then used the taser. Deputies put Streeter in handcuffs, but realized he had stopped breathing. They called paramedics and revived him. Since the incident, Streeter claims he has suffered behavioral, cognitive, and emotional problems as a result of being shocked with the taser.
Well, it's not like that's so outside the realm of possibility. They do give people still, they don't call it electroshock therapy anymore. They call it electroconvulsive therapy, mm-hmm. but it is electroshock therapy because it does rewire your brain, at least temporarily, when they do that to you.
That's true. And I'm not a huge fan of police shocking people as a rule. But at the same time, though, the man was off his meds, running around Clackamas Town Center, pounding on things and running into the mall and causing a scene. And his father called the police because he was already concerned about him. But now he's saying he suffered behavioral and emotional problems because he was tased.
Well,
it sounds like he may have had a few before that.
Maybe he's not able to. To really run around and waggle his penis at people at the mall with the effervescence that he was previously able to conjure up.
Yeah. Now he just does it angrily. Before it was filled with joie de vivre.
It's like a feudal flaccid kind of anger now.
Taser International did not spawn.
Taser International
did not respond to requests for a statement, and a lawyer for Clackamas County said they can't comment on ongoing litigation.
I wish that they didn't own that trademark. I'd love to form a band called Taser International. You know what I mean? Or like a wrestling tag team, you know, or like a God, what else could be called Taser International?
A strip club.
A strip club, sure. Maybe a video game. Seems like there could be a video game called Taser International. Or maybe like one of those video game teams, like those guys who play Half-Life or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, who are you with Taser International? And then whatever. All right. Here's Don Taylor.
A roller derby team could be Taser International.
I like what you're saying. See, now, the Taser folks, I don't know if they have a good sense of humor about their product and the various ways in which it is used or not, but it seems
probably
like at this
not.
Point, I mean, they gotta know, right, that people find it strangely hilarious and compelling. So, you know, they might license that. There might be some. So I wonder if there's like merch. Like, I wonder if you can get like a Taser International T-shirt just to sort of wear around.
We need to look into that.
I'm looking into one of those for Christmas. All right. Here's Don Taylor.
Dolores Holly, 61, spends her Monday nights watching her favorite television show, a crime thriller called The Closer. Her husband, David Marion, wanted to watch Monday Night Football. St. Petersburg, Florida police say Dolores got so angry that her husband wouldn't give up the remote that she ran to the kitchen, grabbed a 5-inch steak knife, and stabbed him. Not once, but 7 times. She got him everywhere, cops say, in the back of the head, his face, his shoulder, his back, and ultimately his chest.
How long is the knife?
5 inches.
And she's how old?
It's a steak knife, 61.
You know, in the back of the head is sort of impressive because that's your skull, unless it was just going sort of parallel to the skull.
Yeah, he may have been trying to run away, and it was like, I don't know.
But I mean, that's, you know, because your skull, you've only got like, I don't know, like half an inch or something.
Well, it says they stabbed him. They didn't say it went all the way into the back of his head.
Oh, that's true. I mean, maybe
it could have just been a little
lodge.
Shallow
stab. Yeah.
On the other hand, though, the one that went into his chest went deep enough that it punctured his lung and nearly killed him. Public information officer Michael Putz said, they've been married for about 5 months, so we don't know their total history at this point. But obviously, this was an extreme case of letting your emotions get away from you.
They have a different honeymoon period than most.
Paramedics were called to their senior citizen apartment complex around 9 o'clock on Monday night. The husband was rushed to Bayfront Medical Center for treatment, while Dolores was arrested on charges of attempted murder. Police believe alcohol may have been a factor in the incident. They also believe the couple was fighting about money.
Yeah, the moral is Mama got to watch her stories, so don't interfere with that. They tend to, the old folks take that seriously. They don't want to screw around there.
The Kansas-based Westboro Baptist Church will protest at Elizabeth Edwards' funeral this Saturday, the hate group announced in a press statement today. Westboro Baptist, best known for picketing military funerals and anything they associate with the homosexual agenda, didn't provide a reason for the protest. The press release was titled, quote, God Hates Elizabeth Edwards, unquote, but said they plan to crash the public service in Raleigh, North Carolina. Staffers at the Edenton Street United Methodist Church told the Washington Post they're aware of the protest and are taking measures in anticipation of the group's arrival. Elizabeth Edwards died on Tuesday after a 6-year battle with cancer. She'll be buried in a private ceremony next to her son, Wade, who was killed in a car crash in 1996.
You know, it's like before you even said it, I knew that when you said the headline of the press release was like, God hates Elizabeth Edwards. It's like, at what point does this slingshotter on the sun sort of conclude and they become inadvertently hilarious? Like in ways that they didn't really, you know, it's like Elizabeth Edwards is not around to really be, you know, to see that anymore. And, it, you know, and everybody, nobody takes them seriously. It's like, I don't know, there's just, at some I think they are very close to crossing. They're close to crossing some sort of threshold and becoming, I think, some weird postmodern horrific version of camp.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's a point where they're actually, like, now at the point where even their own logic makes no sense.
But just to where, like, I think the rest of us, because, you know, that whole thing you see on message boards, where it's like, you know, there's some guy trolling, and everybody says, don't feed the troll, and there's always some jackass who responds, and then it just becomes a huge flame war.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, I've seen this happen in certain online communities and whatever, where they'll finally all kind of, like, you get the feeling they all got in a room together when the troll wasn't posting, and they went, okay, now look, from now on, we're either going to ignore him, or we're just going to sort of gently mock him, you know, and then we're just not going to react otherwise. And don't you get the sense that over the last 5 or 6 years, we've all had that meeting about the Westboro guys?
I think a lot of people are just kind of hoping. First of all, I think most of us are just hoping that they'll burn out and just go away. And then there are people who are just like, the only way we can really deal with this is to just show up with ridiculous signs and make them look stupid.
See, that's my thing, is I hope they don't go away because I want to be there the day that they finally just implode. Like, I want to be there the day that they finally suffer an actual, very outwardly visible mental collapse. Like, when they show up to protest, and then somebody's got just a bunch of, like, you know, shaved, greased-up men making out right in front of them. And just, you know, just to see Fred Phelps's head just explode scanner style.
That would be nice.
I mean, that's really what I'm...
That would be lovely.
I want to live long enough to see that.
An anonymous donor made a $100,000 gift to the Salvation Army in Shreveport. A cashier's check was dropped in a red kettle outside the Brookshire's supermarket in Shreveport, Louisiana. The organization said they don't know who their patron is, but it's the largest kettle gift they've ever gotten here. The money will go towards the Salvation Army's charitable works, which include housing the homeless and providing meals to the disadvantaged. Last year, a Krugerrand coin that was later bought for $1,700 was dropped in a Salvation Army kettle outside a Southwest Shreveport supermarket.
I got the best idea for the guys who sit there with the kettle and the bell and the whatever outside the Fred Meyer. You know, bothering everybody. It's one of those ideas that I almost didn't want to give away because it's like I thought, well, you know, I could do something with this, or we could do this. Could be one of our this could be our zany winter promotion. But it just, you know, it's like the logistics of putting something, you know, because I think those charity places they stake out the stores early. I mean, that's a whole network. I don't want to say it's a racket, but I mean, it's like but it is very much a thing where that's a big organization there, and so. If you want to go and be ringing a bell outside Fred Meyer, you're really going to have to get up pretty early in the morning because the Salvation Army guys have got that all locked up. Like, by June, I would imagine.
Yeah.
They have already contacted all of the major retail outlets because it's not like a thing where you can just sort of show up. I think you have to get the permission
right.
to do it and you have to get a permit or whatever. So, So the logistics of actually carrying this out are probably such that it's not really going to work. So I can just say this. I had the best idea. You know what somebody ought to do? Because here's the thing. You feel like such a jerk, or at least I do. Hating the Salvation Army guys as you walk by them and they're ringing that goddamn bell. And, you know, and it's like always on a day where you're like, you've got a headache or you're hungover or just the sun is glaring a little too brightly into your eyes. And you're walking by the thing and it's like Big Ben is going off inside your head. And it's a universal thing where everybody wants to help, you know, the less fortunate and nobody's opposed to charity. But at the same time, everybody, and do you do this where if like you're approaching Fred, and I keep picking on Fred Meyer, but any store where you see the Salvation Army guy with the bell, you see it and you just go, oh God! All right, is there another door? And I will actually stop and I'll kind of look around to see if there's an alternate entrance, just so I don't have to walk by the guy because it's a combination of the guilt and then just the sound of the bell itself.
Yeah.
And then it, like malls, they've done that thing where it's like the guy has to hold up the sign that says like ding and the other one says dong, you know, because like the people have complained about the noise. Here's my idea. A guy is there with a really, really loud handbell. I mean, a handbell that it's like scientifically designed to have like 300% the volume of like a normal bell.
Yeah.
And then you get like a little, either like a little electronic ticker or just like maybe a handwritten sign or something like the psychiatrist is in 5 cents. But it's like time counting down until I begin ringing the bell again. And then for every dollar donated... He puts off ringing the bell for another minute.
Nice.
That's what I'm saying. See, so there you go.
So you're paying him to not annoy you.
That's what I'm saying. You put $5 in.
I would totally donate for that.
See, Rick Emerson knows. Tell me I don't know marketing. Rick Emerson knows what the people like. So, yeah, you put in $5, which maybe is a gift, you know, not so much to yourself because you're going in, but to your fellow man, to humanity. And, you know, the less fortunate, sure, but also to your fellow shoppers. It's like 5 minutes. They're not going to hear the bell ringing. And then as it gets down to like 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 15, and then the guy lifts the bell and he's like, I swear to God, I'll ring it. And then once he starts ringing it,
crap, and throws another dollar.
Yeah, and then somebody's like, oh my God, you know, and it's like pressing the button on Lost, you know, where you just got to keep the thing from going off.
I like that so much.
There you go. You heard that right here. That's a Rick Emerson original, that idea.
We could do that next year at Christmas time.
Bam.
For a charity of our choice.
We shouldn't even wait till Christmas. We should do when people aren't expecting it, like in June. Second week of June, just
you know,
be out there.
Why do giant annoying bells have to be just for Christmas
That's
time?
That's what I'm saying. That's a year-round activity.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Thursday at Legion of News.
Rapper Snoop Dogg has come to the defense of Willie Nelson following his arrest on suspicion of marijuana possession.
I love this country.
Insisting officials should leave Willie Nelson alone and start treating him with respect.
Have they done a song together yet? Because it seems like they ought to have.
They ought to. I don't think they have. Maybe they will now.
All right.
The veteran musician was detained by police in Texas last month after Border Patrol officers allegedly found a stash of the drug on board his tour bus. The 77-year-old admitted the marijuana was his but avoided a felony charge because the quantity was so small. He's now facing a misdemeanor charge of drug possession and a possible fine. But Snoop Dogg is adamant cops shouldn't have busted the 77-year-old for the offense and has launched a rant against the police officers involved in the arrest. He tells TMZ.com, "They better leave Willie the F alone. Why are they effing with Willie Nelson? Willie Nelson is a legend, man. Sometimes y'all need to back off of certain people and have a certain respect, certain amount of respect for your elders. He's somebody who's lived through many decades of the music business and hard times. Give him the respect. Who's the mother effer that arrested him? Who is the police officer that said you are under arrest and you have the right to remain silent? You dumb mother effer you. You stupid mother effer you. What you think you're going to gain by arresting Willie Nelson? He got out and he's back smoking right now. If you got a problem with Willie Nelson, you got a problem with me."
There are days that I just can't even wrap my brain around things that are really happening. You know, where there's things that have actually taken place. It's not like in some fever dream, some sitcom writer's imagination, where they're actually happening now. And this is one of those things. I like, you know, am I alone in thinking that? Here's the weird thing is, like, I just find that so legitimately sweet and charming. And in a way, I feel like, I mean, it really is that we're all brothers under the skin kind of a moment. It's like our, you know what it is? It's like our generation's Ebony and Ivory, this rant. They have to do a song together.
They
it's
do.
Like it's
they
it's,
have to do something
it,
together.
It can't now. Not here. If they don't, the universe will implode. I mean, everything, time and space will reverse itself, and everything will explode at the subatomic level if they don't record something together. It has to happen now. I demand that it happen.
Let's get on that.
All right. Wow.
Arrested Development and Larry Sanders star Jeffrey Tambor has his sights set on his next starring role. He will take over Kelsey Grammer's part as Georges in Broadway's La Cage aux Folles, which won the Tony for Best Revival of a Musical this year. Recently, it was announced that Harvey Fierstein would play Albin, who is currently portrayed by Douglas Hodge. Grammer and Hodge are set to depart the production after the February 13th performance. Tambor and Fierstein will debut their roles on February 15th.
Excellent.
How awesome would that be, by the way? Harvey Fierstein and Jeffrey Tambor in La Cage aux Folles.
The best thing ever.
If I had enough money to fly to New York, man, I would totally... My God. That'll be awesome.
You know, I knew somebody actually who, I forget what it was they were going to see. It might have been the producers. But they were, you know, and the whole thing, they'd planned this entire trip. And they lived in, I think, California. And they planned, the airfare and the tickets and the whatever. And it was like they got there. And I was like, that was the night that, like, you know, like Matthew Broderick, like, you know, like had a sore throat or something.
Yeah.
And so they're like, standing in for him will be Bob Schmeckendrick. You know, and it was just like some guy, the understudy guy. Because I don't think they refund if you get there and it's the understudy that night.
No, they don't.
No, that's a thing where you're just out the money.
Yeah.
So when is that starting?
February.
Excellent. You are listening to Legion of News. Thank you for joining us. It is Thursday coming up next hour of the Rick Emerson Radio Program, along with our good friends Anna Griffin from The Oregonian. Also, Mr. David Walker. He'll be in the studio as well. Today's program at Legion of News brought to you by Squires Electric at squireselectric.com. You can also call them at 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. Electrical wiring or wiring of any manner in your home or office as you get towards the holidays, if you're looking toward the next year, and if you're going to be expanding your home or your business operations, if you want to make sure that your internet wiring is up to snuff, and if you want to make sure that everything in your home is in tip-top condition. If you moved in, maybe you got a home that was built 40, 50 years ago, you want to make sure that everything is functional and everything is going to be operating flawlessly throughout the winter and beyond. You contact them at legionofnews.com or 503-252-1609. Here is Don Taylor.
There is sad news today about Aretha Franklin. She has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, according to a report. The news was first picked up by the National Enquirer before a relative confirmed it to a Fox affiliate in Detroit late last night. Franklin canceled all of her concerts through May of 2011, several weeks ago. And without revealing any details, the 68-year-old singer underwent what turned out to be a highly successful surgery on December 2nd. While a Wednesday report hinted that Franklin might not have long to live, her cousin told the Detroit Free Press that she's doing better than doctors expected and will return to the concert circuit at some point next year.
All right, then.
Howard Stern has signed a new 5-year contract with Sirius
really?
XM.
I don't think I must have totally. Boy, that indicates where that guy is on my radar these days, because I don't think I was aware of that.
The deal runs through the end of 2015, provides that SiriusXM can now transmit Stern's show to mobile devices. No other terms will be disclosed. He's been locked for months in negotiations as his original 5-year contract was coming up. His original contract worth $500 million neared its expiration just days from now.
Now, were you not? I thought that you were already able to get Sirius, at least, on mobile devices. Although, I guess it's not like a BlackBerry. Like, you were able to get it on their mobile device.
Right.
Like, the little mobile receiver, which is like a little Walkman kind of a thing.
I think that's the deal. He says he vowed that he would not accept a pay cut if he stayed at SiriusXM, but he also remains their biggest marquee name. He says, on my first day in satellite radio, Sirius had approximately 600,000 subscribers. Today, the two companies have 20 million, and in my view, we have just scratched the surface of how many people will get on board. So
have fun with that.
Yeah. So that's all the entertainment news.
Should know for the record, by the way, that Sirius has not made any money ever.
No.
Of any kind. There's your entertainment news.
Well, they're paying Howard Stern $500 million.
Well, seriously.
You know.
$500 million. And by the way, and paying $11 million each for satellites that have got to be replaced like every 3 years. So, you know, I'm not saying it's a poor business model, but.
Well, they had, what did he say? They had 600,000 subscribers when he first started, and or 600,000 subscribers, and they were paying him $500 million.
Yeah, it's
that kind of math. Now, I'm no high-powered businessman, but I'm saying if you're paying like $750,000 per subscriber to your talent.
The cost benefit ratio there, I think, is ever so slightly skewed. But again, you know, I mean, really, what else are they gonna do? I mean, that's the thing, you know, he's their marquee talent. So I mean, there's not really, you know, and the thing about Howard is, actually, Bruce and I were talking about this, because, you know, we're just big radio nerds, and we were debating whether or not Howard would go back to terrestrial radio when his satellite deal was up. And I just think that I think his ego just doesn't allow. I mean, I don't know, but I think his ego is probably such that I don't think it would allow him to do it.
No,
because he just, you know, because he just was so, he was so adamant about the fact that he would never go back, and that it was, you know, and which I, you know, and which I have never been, for example, that it's like, you know, I, you know, we're doing this, and I don't see a future in which I would go back to terrestrial radio. But I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, I mean, I would just never say never about anything like that. But Howard was just, he had like staked his entire future on, you know, on satellite versus, and it's like, I feel like he's just kind of going all in on the wrong hand with satellite. But I mean, you know, I could be wrong. I'm having no Mensa or anything. It seems a little weird to me. Let's see. We should do like two more here, and then we will wrap it up.
Westbrook, Maine police said a routine commercial building check at Dreamer's Cabaret indicated the club was open for business, something it's not allowed to do. The club was shut down a day after it opened in September after the Westbrook code enforcement officers pulled its certificate of occupancy. Loud music could be heard coming from the club Sunday shortly before 1 a.m. When police went inside, they found a disco ball and nightclub lighting were on. As a result, city inspectors were called to the club on Warren Avenue. The owner of the club was not there, but a man by the name of Adam Goodwin was, and he said he was in charge. After speaking with a lawyer, Goodwin told police that the men at the club were plumbers working on emergency repairs and that the women were just bringing them coffee.
Really?
Police said they were unable to identify any licensed plumbers or any evidence of repair work being done.
But, I mean, you got to give up to the stones on those, you know, I mean, that's chutzpah, just saying. I really admire guys who just tell you a totally patently unbelievable story, and they just, but with like a straight face, and they stick to it. And there's no smirking, no nudging, no nodding, no winking. It's like they just, you know, they just say it, and it's, you know, it's ridiculously unbelievable, but they stick with it no matter what. Good for them.
Well, last week, the Zoning Board of Appeals had rejected their appeal, and the city said the owner can appeal this decision, to the Maine Superior Court, but it looks like no, they're not open.
Okay. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. We thank you for joining us. The Rick Emerson radio program will be coming up next at rickemerson.com. In the meantime, in between time, we want to thank Don Taylor for making some time out of your very hectic and busy life right now to come back and do this hour. And our best to Patrick. And
thank you so much.
Be sure to let us know if there's anything we can do for him. Hope his colon's all taken care of by the time you get back there, for your sake as well as his.
Oh, yes.
The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemerson.com, featuring Mr. David Walker and Anna Griffin from the Oregonian. The Rick Emerson Show, like a Legion of News itself, comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network. We are heard every day on Cascadia.fm, noon until 1, as well as in iTunes. And you can also download this program as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. And it's available on your mobile device as well. We'll see you again tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of Legion of News. Until then, thank you for listening. Have a safe and satisfying Thursday, won't you please?
Shortly. Keep it.